Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the third episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 5. I am not alone. Of course, with me is the wonderful Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am great. You know, it's really, really weird because I have been spoiled for so many seasons of Drag Race. And this is the first season of Drag Race that I have not been spoiled. So this episode for me was sort of like a hit in the stomach because I found myself becoming very attached to the person that ends up going home here. But I'm good. I'm good. I think I'm over it. I think I'm ready to talk.
Oh my gosh, yeah, brand new Mariah stan in our midst.
Yes.
It's not just the two of us. We are welcoming back Beth, who is going to be joining us as a permanent member. Beth, how are you?
I feel expensive. Rich. Expensive rich. No, I'm feeling great. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited to be joining you guys permanently and excited to talk about this episode. I agree with Amon. I've been spoiled for many seasons and it is just such a different, wonderful experience when you are not spoiled by something that you were watching on television. Can't wait to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, no spoilers here. We're just going to be talking straight facts. First, though, we do have a little bit of business that we need to talk about before we get into everything from this episode. We are going to be making some general changes to the format of the Drag Race podcast. Most excitingly, perhaps, we are going to be trying out some video formats. So we were talking about this. Drag is a visual art form, baby. And we think that it would be really cool to have a visual component. So what we're testing out actually this week is we're using StreamYard. We got a little video going. We're going to be pulling up some of the images of the outfits or things from the challenge that we want to look at potentially. And what we're going to be doing, unfortunately, not this week, but in the coming weeks, what we'll be doing is we're going to be posting that video, hopefully to the YouTube page, but we'll get confirmation on that later. So that's something that you can look out for. When we do implement those changes, we'll make that known. The other big thing that we're going to do is we are going to make this a little bit more of a roundtable panel discussion. There's so many great conversations that happen because of Drag Race, on Drag Race, within the Drag Race community. And we think that it is so important to bring on a myriad of voices so that we can discuss all of these issues and hear from so many different perspectives. So in addition to Amon, Beth, and myself, we are going to be adding a rotating fourth slot where we're going to have a fourth person come on, have a roundtable discussion of the episode. And we think that that's going to be a great way to just bring in some new voices, maybe some old voices too, and just talk everything Drag Race. So as some of you may know, Rob has put out a application process if you're interested in joining RHAP, and we may be potentially pulling from the pool of people that we talk to. So if you are interested in being on Drag Race, submit your application. I can put the link in the show notes and check the RHAP website as well, because then that way, if you say you're interested in Drag Race in the form, it's like a Google Sheet form thing, whatever, then we can pull your name and potentially, get, like I said, get some new voices on the show. So if you are interested, reach out either through the form or if you can also message me privately, although I would prefer if you go through the form. Yes. All right. Okay. I feel so businessy. I need my mug.
Business.
Yes, business. Yeah. Realness for sure. Business realness. I need the minutes from our little meeting here. That's enough of me monologuing. Let's talk about this episode. So we have Mariah go home. We had a superly weird challenge that was sort of like the club challenge, but I don't know. It just hit different this time. Give me your thoughts overall, Amon, on this episode.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a bit of a redux for the All-Stars 4 nightclub challenge that gave us the very, very, very infamous Club 96. And yeah, I felt like they hit gold the first time they did this. So they were trying to recreate a little bit of that magic. And I don't think that it quite landed the way that they wanted to. And I sort of felt that way about the entire episode. I felt like there were just Now, we know it's reality TV, right? Like, we know that things are produced. Okay, we get it. But I just felt like some of these storylines were produced and heavy-handed. Some of the things that we were getting in terms of, like, the conflict between the queens, it just felt very one-sided, and I didn't really quite understand. And maybe it's because I'm a Cracker fan, so maybe I'm quick to go on the defense, but I felt a little bit just weird in general with this episode. I still enjoyed it, but I was like, I'm feeling a little bit more uncomfortable than I usually do during Drag Race.
Yeah, I have to agree with that too. I felt like this was the first episode for All Stars 5 where it wasn't organic and natural coming together with like the drama or even the challenges. Last week, we had the opportunity to see the queens really take ownership of their own individual thing as well as work as in a group. And this week, I think that the issue I had was when you don't give queens control of every single part of such a massive challenge, that's where it starts to come across really produced. So I don't like, are we seriously like supposed to believe that they painted and did all the stuff for those walls? Because clearly they did not paint those walls. That was like absolutely production that came through, painted the walls, made it look the way they wanted. They didn't even know the furniture they had. So they basically kind of, I'm assuming, must have put together a list that said, hey, this is what we generally want. And then set and props people probably went out and just got what they could for it. Right. So I feel like it's weird to judge them on their rooms if they're not the ones that have total control over it. And then on top of it, you have to act and you have to like sell this, and it's just like there's almost too many elements to it in order to make it seem like something that you can really judge the queens on. That's kind of how I felt with this particular episode. So I have to agree. I think it was a little overproduced.
It's hard when there are so many facets to the challenge because I'm trying to judge them because I'm like, what do I like? What do I not like? Then I'm like, what are the judges judging them on? Like, that felt like a whole nother layer, because as far as I could tell, okay, so this was a design challenge, an improv challenge, an interact with some of the judges challenge. Like, I'm not entirely sure what, because, okay, so we end up having, who won? It was Blair and Mayhem, right? So they won with their gold look, their 24K room, which we got, yes, the redux of, you know, Club 96.
Yeah.
Although I will say the Daddy Rich line, that really, that made me laugh.
Just in time for Father's Day, Daddy Rich.
Yes.
Yeah, that reminds me. Oh my God, I gotta call my dad today. Okay. Focus, Liana.
Me too. Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah, y'all. Sorry. This isn't, you know, this is going to go up like what, tomorrow, maybe like tonight. It might be past, but whatever. Call your dad or someone you love. Just spread the love. Because what I did not love here was the fact that it wasn't clear, right? Like the fact that Shay, Cracker, and Mariah, you know, did the Golden Girls Palace and Resort, which I actually, when they were describing as a concept, I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. Like, that's such a good concept. But then, you know, I guess it wasn't executed in the right way. I think the judging, they were saying like, oh, it's just like three old women in a room. And Shea Coulee was in the bottom for some reason also. So to add to the point about it being overproduced, right? Like that's kind of the hot mess express that we're seeing here because we have that come up.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Iman.
No, I was just going to agree. I feel like it was like, I just couldn't quite understand exactly where we were supposed to fall on the judging. I think that's part of the reason why I was so gagged about actually who went home, because obviously we knew who was going to be in the bottom. Mm-hmm. But just based off of the editing, I was like, well, I feel like they're trying to insinuate that this girl's going to go, but then she doesn't. I was like, couldn't gauge anything. And I was just like, obviously, whatever made Rue laugh the most is going to win. And like I said, that's just the golden rule.
But that's the other thing, too. We didn't get to even see RuPaul's reaction to any of this, of the rooms and such. So how do you know what he liked?
And then he said, that the other one was his favorite. But like, it was just very weird. I was like, so you don't know what you're doing either then.
Yeah, you know, seriously, there was no rubric. Like, what are you supposed to do? Yeah, no, I also felt like it was really weird that not every single judge wasn't the same group of people in everything. So like, how can you even judge if it's just like Michelle and Ross. And I mean, Michelle, I guess, was in all three, right? So you had Michelle and Ross, and then you had Michelle and Nicole, and then you had Michelle and what's his name?
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, but that's a good point, though, because like there are some guest judges that are going to be more game than others. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like somebody like Nicole Byer is, you know, she's a comedy queen. So she'll probably be more engaging and more willing to like banter with the queens, which will elevate the experience. But then you get somebody like Martin, who's sort of like, not that same way. So it's like, does that affect the way that you are viewing? And does it affect the way that you judge it? It was just a very, very strange. They were trying to recreate the last one and it just fell flat. It just did.
Agreed.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I'm trying to think if we've seen anything like this before. We had this, because that was from All Stars 4, where we got the club scene. But I don't think, maybe not since like some of the earlier seasons. I'm blanking. I feel like we've seen something sort of similar.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so I think this is a swing and a miss. I think it was unclear to both the audience and the queens what the goal of the challenge was. Yeah. To create an experience is such an ethereal thing, and I get that that's kind of the point, but like, what does that even mean? Where was Rue? Did Rue get to Shantae enjoy his stay, or did Rue just watch a video? Was Rue there in the room? Like, what was going on here? Yeah, I had fun with the episode, but it was a mess. It was a mess.
It was also really hard too, because I feel like there were things that we've seen in past episodes, past seasons, that were somewhat praised for those that they deemed did well that normally they wouldn't. Like, don't you think normally a note for like Mayhem and Blair would have been, okay, but after you said rich and expensive like three times, it kind of got old. Like, isn't that a Michelle Visage line all the time? Like, it didn't go anywhere. They didn't go anywhere with it. They just repeated the same kind of stuff. And it was really interesting when you watched Untucked and you saw like the flashback to RuPaul doing his walkthrough with them. He was like, you're just speaking generally about things. And they were like, yeah, and that's all they did in their scene too. And they didn't get knocked for it. They were the best ones. Meanwhile, even if the execution wasn't the best, there was a lot of different kinds of themes and jokes and bits that the Golden Girls group tried to do, or even the Jungle group tried to do. Like, it was just a really weird, like, so are we saying this is good now? Like, I don't know. It was just really hard for me to follow, like, what the thought process was for what was deemed great and what wasn't.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, let's actually talk about some of the details of the challenge. We can kind of break down what we thought of each of the queens' actual performances. So the main challenge this week, we got, you know, no mini challenge, as unfortunate as that is. Jumping right into the main challenge, which is VIP travelers want an unforgettable experience, staying in a new hotel design show. So like, that's what they're going to have. And Shantae, enjoy your stay. They're going to work in teams and they have to come up with like a welcome basket, a signature nightcap, and just create this experience. So Aman, what did you think about the random draw for teams? Oh yeah. And then they were like, they were casually already standing next to their partners.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of strange because normally like you said, they have like a mini challenge and then the winners will do whatever. But I don't know. Like, the more and more that this season goes on, the more and more I'm like, damn, was Brett right? And that this is some like riggery going on and we're just trying to like, I don't know. It just seemed like it was strange. It was very strange.
Well, just like to go with the overproduced theme again, like, why have randomized teams if we normally always like do a schoolyard pick? I mean, I know they've done randomized stuff before in the past, but it just seemed really weird. Like, for All Stars, don't you want them to have more control over who they are working with and such? Not only does that add to more drama and storylines, but it also helps us see where the queens are at with their thoughts and their relationships with people,
especially in a season like this where, like, you know, you're introducing this this all-stars mechanic in the game where the queens could potentially create alliances and you know, get the people out of there. You would think that they would want to breed that sort of culture, but nope, random.
Yeah, random. And I was trying to think from a production perspective, it makes sense to do random teams if you were putting people together for drama. If Derek Barry had still been there, put Derek and India Farah together on a team. That I get. That makes sense. So then I was trying to think, well, what's the drama? Like, where are the pairs here that I think could be going at one another? I mean, we got plenty of drama in this episode. Like, that for sure happened. I just don't necessarily think it was a result of the way that the teams were constructed. Or maybe that was the whole point. I don't know. Or did the producers even know that Alexis was going to go off on Cracker on this episode, which I was entertained by? Would they have put them together? You know, that we just don't know. Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, speaking of the drama, speaking of the Alexis drama, Beth, explain this. Break this down for me.
Well, see, here's where I'm confused, okay? So if we go back in time to the last episode, where, especially in the untucked portion of the episode, where we see Cracker, Alexis, and I think Mayhem were the safe queens before all the other ones came in there. Cracker was talking about how, hey, I understand that I am difficult in some way to work on. I don't know why. And instead of providing specific examples like I talked about last week, they just basically were like, yeah, you're egotistical and you're all these other things. That would have been an appropriate time, Alexis, to say all the things you wanted to say. But now what you did instead was pull a Ms. Cracker and played mind games the next day. So it was really interesting for her to call out Ms. Cracker and say, I don't believe what you're saying about being apologetic of how you acted towards Angina is real. I think you're playing mind games. I think you're hard to work with. And she basically used all the sound bites against Ms. Cracker. And then, in my opinion, pretended to be like, but I'm being upfront with you, girl. I'm like going behind your back like everybody else is. And on one hand, yes, I think it's much better when you confront somebody with a conflict. But on the other hand, girl, that is shady as hell. That was shady as hell to do. And I don't know. It was just, that was a drama as Ms. Cracker is having a heart to heart with her team and saying, hey, this is how it's been. I'm so thankful to be working with people like you that I respect. And then Alexis out of nowhere is like, so you're saying you don't respect me because you didn't name me off? And she was, no, that's not what I said at all. I was thankful for Shea Coulee to step in and girl, no, that's not what happened. But come on. I mean, again, I don't know what was left out of the editing between Untucked last episode right. and this, but my God.
That's why I was like, I don't understand where this is coming from, because I mean, it was already a bit of a blindside for us to get to see Cracker sort of, you know, they got her together last week. And now, once again, it seems like everybody else has like moved on from that. But Alex is like, no. Let's get Cracker again. Like, it's just like you called her out for what she said about Angina, when really what she said about Angina was, I mean, Angina voted for herself. Like, why are we going to bat for Angina? I mean, I love the girl, but come on. You are calling her out for that, but when she says that she's sorry, you're like, oh, you're apologizing now because she's gone. I'm like, well, what do you want her to do? Did you want her to say, I don't give a fuck about Angina, and I said what I said, I meant what I said, and that's it? Because then, like, what is the end goal here? And I was glad that Juju, because that was very confusing. When Juju became on, I was like, I think that she's just playing mind games right now. That's all she's trying to do. She's just trying to get in Ms. Cracker's head. She's probably intimidated by her, and she's just trying to start shit. I'm like, that's what it must be that, because where else totally. Is it coming from?
Yeah, because, you know, it happens throughout like the whole episode, right? Because we get when the episode starts and the next day in the workroom, you know, after, the, you know, they talk about Angina basically giving up, you know, like, and Alexis feeling frustrated that Angina gave up. And then in that next day, you know, that's when you start to have the conflict, but then you get that big blow up with Shay. I mean, you know, so Shay is like sort of kind of involved in that situation as well. But then you have Mayhem, who doesn't believe Cracker also. So there's like a lot of queens, even though the drama is really between Alexis and Cracker, like the other queens are also like sort of getting in on this. Like, who would have thought that this was going to be the main drama that we were going to be dealing with for at least, you know, two episodes of All Stars 5? And my guess is that this is going to continue probably for the rest of the season. And yeah. I don't think either Alexis or Cracker is going to go in like the next week or two. So this
could be shocked if they did. Yeah.
Yeah. This could be in it for a little bit longer. Yeah.
It's also interesting to see which queens are and which queens are not saying things about this too. Like, which queens are the ones that are sitting there going, ooh, as they put on their makeup, and which ones are the ones that are going, or either if it's in confessional or in the room saying, I think this was a mind game. I don't like that this person's saying this kind of stuff. I think that Cracker's getting piled on. You could see that it's affecting her. Like, and unfortunately, and this is where I thought it was interesting. Somebody who was on Ms. Cracker's side was Mariah, and Cracker voted her out. And so, like, so clearly this isn't playing into at least Ms. Cracker's game. So I'm interested to see how this develops in terms of how the queens have relationships moving forward with the whole voting out component as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to breaking down the votes because I want to talk about this. I want to talk about alliances. I want to talk about like, okay, yes. So we'll get into that. I do want to bring up the fact that the one thing that I was like kind of frustrated with Cracker about was when she, you know, did list the girls and was like, oh, I want to work with people that respect me or something like that. And then Alexis was like, oh, so you don't respect me. And then Cracker's like, well, no, that's not what I meant. But then she didn't say like, I do respect you. She never did say it. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. That's fine. Like, you don't have to respect everybody, right? Like, you do you. But that was like just a really funny little interaction that I liked. And the other question I want to ask him on is, it if somebody's gonna talk shit about you, is it better that they do it behind your back or do you want them to do it to your face?
I just don't talk shit. I mean, I just feel like, I mean, yes. if you are, because it depends on what are we defining talking shit? Because if you're just saying, you know, oh, fuck him on, he's a whore. Well, then, yeah, I would prefer that you just not say that because it's not true. But if you are going to say it, sure, say it to my face so I can at least defend myself. But if it's like a critique that you're trying to bring me, oh, yeah, definitely say it to my face. Like, come to me with anything that you need to say. But like, I just feel like Alexis just used that as a further combatant to say, I hear when people are saying, I'm saying it to your face because nobody else will. And I'm like, don't do that. Because if this is about how you feel, then don't make it about how everybody else feels. Like, you don't need the numbers here because clearly you're the only one saying anything. And then you're throwing everybody else under the bus, whether they believe the thing that you're believing or not. So
if you need to justify why you're talking shit, then you probably shouldn't be talking shit. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there.
If someone has constructive criticism, I would like to hear it. That was not constructive criticism. No. You know what I mean? So it's like defending yourself by saying, well, yeah, but other girls are talking about you behind your back. It's like, well, okay. But then you don't have to, like, that doesn't excuse your rudeness, even though I did enjoy it. And I, between Alexis and Jujubee, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that they were brought back. Oh, like, entertainment in spades. Not that I'm not getting entertainment from the other queens. Like, Shay is giving me life. You know, the Cracker drama is fun. But, I mean, Juju. I'm paired with two bitches with questionable taste. My taste is questionable, too. Just so many lines, Beth. So many lines.
I love it. You know, so Jujubee also had some interesting commentary when Alexis was talking, because one of the things that Alexis brought up was that, is that English is her second language. And I couldn't really quite tell what Jujubee was trying to say, if she was trying to call shenanigans on why that was hard.
Yeah, because
for her
why did Alexis bring that up again?
I think that what she was basically trying to say is like, maybe I'm not reading what you're trying to say correctly because English is a second language. So maybe I'm interpreting the situation incorrectly. But just know that this has been an issue for me for a while, like that I have a hard time with understanding, like maybe how people are perceiving me or situations. I think that's what Alexis was getting at. I mean, Liana, do you agree with that take?
Yeah, I think that was kind of the point. And that sometimes happens. So English is, so, you know, my partner Puya, English is his second language. And so sometimes like we have a thing that, you know, he's like, oh, it's my second language. But that's bullshit from him because he speaks English better than he speaks Farsi. Like, I get it. You learned it second, but you know, you still speak English better. So, and yeah, when Juju was like, oh, but she's still going off, like she's doing a great job.
Talking. She's doing all this talking, explaining herself for this to be her second language.
Yeah.
So it was just an interesting perspective because I can't speak to this, so I don't know if this is true or not, but I am not aware if English is Jujubee's second language or not. It was an interesting portrayal to have Jujubee, who we know at least speaks at least another language, making commentary about that. That to me was like a very interesting editing choice to make sure that the camera was going back on her.
Mm-hmm. that was included. Well, you know, Alexis, you know, regardless of how many languages she speaks and that English is her second language, her read to, I think, Shay, when Shay was like, what's your color palette? Green and brown. Shay was like, yeah, like your foundation.
It was so good.
Oh. Okay, well, speaking of things being green and brown, nope, weird transition. Let's take a look at some of these rooms and let's talk about what we thought the queens did. Because again, like, it was so convoluted what we were actually judging on. Like, if we were judging on based on a performance, are we judging based on, you know, what it looks like? So Aman, the first room that we talk about is the Golden Girls Palace and Resorts. This is Shay Coulee, Crocker, and Mariah, who put together this little Golden Girls landscape.
Yeah, I personally thought the room was horrendous. It was ugly as hell, but it went over well with all the judges. Once again, I've never watched an episode of Golden Girls. I don't know what the jokes were about. I don't understand the theme, but if they like the room, then they like the room. Only person that really painted older was Shay. Mariah looked fierce and young.
That's a good point.
And Cracker kind of looked a little older, but not really. I feel like I really got what Shay was going for. So I was like, if you guys are supposed to be the Golden Girls, then why do all of you look like you're below the age of, why do the two of you look like you're below the age of like 40 or something? It's not working.
That's an interesting point for sure.
Yeah. And I just feel, I feel like even though, because you know how sometimes you don't understand references, but you can still see the humor. You're like, oh, I understand why that was funny, even though I don't get the reference.
Mm-hmm.
I could not, none of those jokes. Where are they? Where are the jokes?
Yeah. The judges obviously did not, or agree with you on that front where they were like, where are the jokes? Where were they? What I thought was interesting was not only did Shay paint old, I felt like the only person who acted old was Cracker. Like, yeah. And so it was just like there was a weird visual versus acting like thing where Mariah was really trying to do her own take on Blanche. I really feel like she was trying to be Mariah as Blanche. And I felt like, actually, even just like with the picture thing, there were times where Shay actually did look like the author. I thought it was really interesting. I was like, holy crap, that is exactly what B. Arthur's expression there would have been. And it was actually pretty interesting. But Cracker was the one that I think really acted the best in the scene, was the one that at least attempted at humor. And I don't know if it was improv or what, but it was a weird thing. I really wish that if you're gonna do Golden Girls, go over the top and be campy with it. And if you don't want to be the characters from Golden Girls, but if you want it to be like older women in general, be campy, be old, be funny. Like, you know, there's nothing funnier than when you get to break stereotypes of what it's like to be an older woman, which is exactly what the Golden Girls did as a show. Mm-hmm. So they had little Golden Girls moments, but it was more of like an homage versus like a skit. And that's what I thought was a little rough for them.
Yeah, I would co-sign that. Like, now that you guys are getting into so many of the details, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that totally doesn't make sense. Like, and it's not consistent, and it just didn't really fit. Like I said, I loved the concept. And I did think that they had some jokes, like the emergency alert button joke to call the pit crew room service or whatever. Like, that was funny. And the landline stuff was kind of funny. But the physicality, yeah, just go for it, you know? And I did think that Shay did well. She also reminded me of the Grandria character that she did from her original season. Oh, like, yeah, I was sort of getting a little bit of Grandria there, which is like, fine, look, you're good at something, you know, run with it, do it. But it needed more. It just needed more. It was ugly, but in like the best Golden Girls way. they had the walker and the pink background. And now that I am looking at these walls and this whole backdrop here, there's no way. There's like this palm tree, like wall sticker or something like that they put up behind the bed.
Is that the fabric from Shay's entrance look?
Oh.
Yo.
Like, I watched that and I was like, I'm seeing a theme here from Shay. I don't know, but I don't know. The other thing to bring up, too, was a really good point that Michelle brought up, which was that Ms. Cracker wasn't even doing Rose. She was doing Sophia. She was doing Sophia's line. So if you're going to do Sophia's lines, and we even saw her in preparation being going, picture it, Sicily, 1971. Or whatever. I just sat there and I was like, why are you not just doing a character of Sophia? That would fit you so much better anyway. It's like a punchy character. But I don't know.
Yeah, it was just poor execution, right? Yeah. Like, good concept, poor execution, which then I understand why. Because so out of this group, Shay and Mariah were in the bottom, which I think kind of goes to your guys's point about like, well, we think Cracker probably did the best out of this group. Mm-hmm. And because the whole group was such a miss, then, you know, two of the three queens that we end up having in the bottom are from this group, which is kind of crazy. But
yeah.
Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back. All right, let's talk about the next group. Let's talk about Jujubee and Alexis and India Farah that do the Glamazon jungle theme, Aman. Not your cup of tea.
The golden shower. What does that have to do with jungle? Like, am I missing something here? Is there like a thing that I don't know about?
Apparently, in this jungle, it's a golden rainforest. I don't know. That would have been a way better way to go about it. I don't know. But I also like that when the judges asked, like, what did you bring to this, India? And she was like, I was mostly in charge of the golden shower. Died. Yeah, I was like, just the fact that is a straight answer, it's hilarious to me.
And like, she thought that was okay, you know, like there was more to the room, honey, than just that one thing. I mean, I'm happy that you feel like you have something that you're taking ownership over. It doesn't really make sense, but I'm happy that you're so proud of yourself for the golden shower. Yeah, I also thought, I was like, so I think what we were talking about earlier is the case where they came up with a list of general things that they wanted, or like, oh, our theme is this. And that golden shower very much could have been left over from the gold room. Because as far as I could tell, for the gold room, the 24K gold room, it was just find as much gold stuff as possible and please bring us everything gold. And they were like, oh, golden shower head. Like, sure, perfect, grab it. And somehow it ended up in the jungle room by accident.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the queen's performances. Is there anybody, Beth, that really stood out to you out of Juju, Alexis, and India? Now, we do know that Juju goes on to win the challenge, even though the room overall was not the winner. Did you feel like this was appropriate?
This group to me was really weird. And I think their chemistry was all off. I didn't find that they performed well together. I didn't think that they gelled well together. I didn't feel like they supported each other in comedy. And so if you are in a group in a room, well, I guess in this case you aren't in a room. If you're in a group like that, the best thing you can do for yourself is stand out. And that's what Jujubee did. Jujubee brought her own humor to things. I thought she really did her best to try to stay on task while also being hilarious. Mm-hmm. Alexis had a few moments that you could tell were, I don't even think she was acting, like when the cap falls off of like the thing where she's just like, what happened there? Like, I think that's just like a genuine Alexis moment, which was funny, but it wasn't her acting or anything like that. India, I'm sorry, was cringy as fuck to me. Like, oh my gosh. Even like with the golden shower, just being like, it was such a weird camera angle to shoot her at. And then she's just like, up against the wall. But it, like, there was nothing sensual about it. I was just like, I feel like I'm watching like somebody try to be sexy, like for the first time when they're like a teenager or something like that. It was really awkward to watch. But I don't know. I felt like Jujubee did stand out the best out of this group, and she did what she had to do in order to get that win. I'm really happy she won.
She slept with the judges at the end, so hey. Now we know why.
Yeah, the golden shower thing, like with India being so cringe, I think that's part of the reason why I found it so funny, because it was so bad. Like, it had crossed over into I'm uncomfortable, so I'm gonna laugh territory. Because I just, like, I couldn't handle it. Also, the bed being on the ground for some reason really bothered me, just because it looked like the mattress was so low quality, and I was like, I know. That looks so uncomfortable.
This room definitely looked the least like a suite that I would want to ever book.
For a lot of money, too.
Yeah, I would, Shantae, not enjoy my stay. The little tiki bar with the pit crew member, though, that was something that was, that was very enjoyable. And Nicole Byer got to be in this room, and I love Nicole Byer, so I don't know, maybe that biased me in some way. But yeah, this just looked... I don't know if I would want to stay in any of these rooms now that I'm thinking about it. This one might be my second choice, though. I don't know. The green is, like, it's so ugly. And the edge.
Gross.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, it didn't do it for me. Jujubee's super sarcastic line, though, about the fruit. Like, this is the most exotic fruit we could find. Like an apple and bananas.
And bananas.
That, like, subtle shade at the, you know, whatever, like, assistant had to go try to find fruit. And, like, this is the most exotic, like, fake fruit or whatever,
also,
that they got.
You're in Los Angeles and you can't get tropical fruit, like, at a store or something. Like, what is up with this production?
Too expensive. Too expensive.
That's
them.
Right.
Yeah, no papayas here, fam.
I was literally going to say papaya. That's so
funny. I was trying to find the golden shower clip too to show that, because it's so bad. But
I just get secondhand embarrassment when I watch it. Just like,
I know. So cringy. And like you said, now that we're talking about it, it really doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense at all.
I couldn't understand. I was
what do showers have to do with the jungle?
But see, that's exactly my point. I wish that they had just transitioned it to rainforest, because they could have said, like, because you know how they have rain showers? They could have just said, like, this is our golden rainforest shower head or something like that. Like, something stupid, just to try to tie it in. But just, they were like, it's a golden shower. And I was like, because you're next door to the golden room. Yep, got it. Okay, cool.
Or, like, even make the golden shower joke, right? Because, like, that's the whole point. You're trying to have jokes. But you can set it up in a way that, makes it fit with the theme of the room. So let's go ahead and go to our winning room, which is the 24K gold room, I believe is what it was for, just the 24K room, which is so gold. And very much a ripoff of Club 96.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Aman, walk me through it. What do you think?
Yeah, this is obviously the most aesthetically pleasing room. Your eyes sort of pop. I think that both Blair and Mayhem really just went all the way there. I'm glad that Martin saw this room, because I feel like this is the room that actually looked the most like a designed room. And yeah, I enjoyed this performance. I could clearly see that they were trying to go for the Club 96 thing. It was, like, overt. It was like, Blair, like, come on, girl. But in comparison to the other ones, I think that, I mean, if they have been just a little bit more innovative in the other two rooms, I feel like this room would not have been as appealing as it came off, because of the fact that the other two were just sort of, like, lost in translation, quite literally. This was the only one that was the most cohesive. And yeah, I mean, we get to see that little clip of him, of RuPaul going through the workroom with them. And he's saying, like, look, I'm not getting any specifics from you guys. You guys are giving me a bunch of vague terms, but where's the substance? I kind of feel like they benefited from not having that much substance. It was literally just gold, 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 rich, 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 money, money, money. That's it. That's it. Did it work?
Yeah, I mean, the joke, like, you know, I appreciate repeated jokes. I always think that that's fun, but, like, that was the joke. The only joke, right, Beth? Yeah. I mean, unless there was something else that I missed.
No, that was the only joke. It was just everything's rich, everything's expensive, everything is expensive rich, everything is daddy rich, everything. I mean, like, it was just, can we put a different, adjective that means rich in front of rich? Which... You know what? When you compare it to the other groups, and that is the best humor you got, that is another reason why I just felt like this challenge fell flat, you know? I do agree. I think this is the only place that the Golden Girls place looked like a cheap motel in Florida that your grandparents would stay at. Mm-hmm. The jungle themed one looked like one that maybe you would book with your friends as like a joke for not as a joke, but like as like, I don't know, just for fun. Like the tiki bar, that was lit. I would have a tiki bar in my room any day of the week, please. Like all hotel chains. I travel for work a lot. Please put those in there. I would take advantage. But this is the only one that actually looked like an elite kind of room that you would stay in. Mm-hmm. And so they honestly, the bar was just so low for the other two rooms that they could kind of just get away with whatever they wanted here. One thing that really bothered me, and this is a small thing, but it just bothered me. I normally don't mind shiny gold material that has like a green reflector in it, but it just came across as cheap. What Blair was wearing, it came. I was like, is this fool's gold? Like, that's what it was to me. I just sat back and every time she'd be like, expensive rich. And I'm like, girl, that is green that's coming off of your gold right now. It would be nice if it was like, you know, not green. If it was like a yellow, if it was another gold or something light, but it was like, just, I don't know.
She done rusted.
Yeah, she, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You sat there and you're like, this is oxidized to hell.
Got through gold. Periodic table. Yes.
Oxidized. Rust. Everything.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny. Yeah, maybe that's why they had Martin only come into that room. They're like, we just can't even let him see the other ones.
Which is funny because it's clearly he would have seen the other two rooms because they were all right next to each other. But they're like, this is the only one we can put him on camera. What if he had a fit backstage? He was like, I can't believe you want me to go to these other rooms. I will only enter this one for a skit. And they're like, all right. This is it.
I cannot be seen in the other rooms. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Beth, what did you think about Ross as one of the judges and Nicole as well?
I thought that they were Ross is always a playful kind of person. You also know that he's a huge fan of Golden Girls. So I think that that was a really fun personality to put into the room. But you always run the risk, queens. If you have Ross or Nicole in those rooms, if they upstage you, that's a problem. And if Ross was one of the few people who had comedic lines, which he was, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So that's just something that I think that people really need to be cognizant of is like your judges can say and do whatever they want. And they're not going to be the ones that will intentionally try to trip you up, but they are here to judge you and to test you.
It is really a gamble because, like, yeah, I mean, you know, he loves Golden Girls, right? So it's like, if you do very, very well, you will not be in the bottom. Ross will fight for you. He'll be like, look, like, they really, really killed it this week. But if you don't bring it, then it's like, I don't know now.
Yeah, you can't get outstaged. Outstaged? Is that a phrase?
No. Upstaged.
Upstaged. Get my preposition on. Okay. I'm going about stage. All right.
Understaged.
Understaged. Yeah. I was understaged. Okay. Yeah. Juju was very understaged. She killed it. yeah. I wanted to see more of Nicole Byer because, like, Nicole is hilarious. She, of course, I mean, she hosts Nailed It, but I actually knew her mostly from her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? And then she also has a 90-day podcast. So if you have Patreon, it's only $5, and then you can get the if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, it's really good. Anyway, but I didn't get enough of her, and I was a little sad and disappointed. Yeah. I thought they did fine. Like the judging was fine. I mean, not the criteria, but the people. We're fine. It was just, well, we'll talk about the freaking crafty comment, but yeah, I wanted more Nicole Byer in my life.
What did you think about, I don't know if you watched Untucked or not, but we did get some Nicole Byer playing Dirty Charades, which I was thankful for. At least we had some of that bonus content.
That was nice. I did sort of feel a little bit sated after that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because now the way that they've done it, so with the previous All-Star seasons, when they would go back to deliberate, you know, we would get those moments where the, you know, the judges are like hanging out, they're getting their manicures or whatever, you know, they're doing. And so we got Dirty Charades. It ended up being in the Untucked, because now they are doing Untucked. So I'm happy that we're still getting that content and that it's not completely cut from the edit, because that was just, that was really funny. I love when she was trying to do white man and just pointed to Ross.
And they immediately
got it. Classic. So good.
I like that she said, or like they were doing musical, one word, and RuPaul was on it.
Oklahoma. Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Oh, that was good. Okay, well, let's actually talk about some of the runway looks. So this week was a 3-in-1 runway look, which I love, 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 love. It, you don't even have to do three. Like, 2-in-1 looks is sufficient. Like, I will be happy. But the 3-in-1 look, of course, ups it, and you have to go to the next level. So the first queen to walk the runway is Miss Blair St. Clair, and she has her three different looks. Amon, what did you think about what Blair did on the runway?
Well, first off, I just love this runway idea because it's so refreshing to be able to watch a reveal happen because you know what's going to happen instead of like everybody just doing it just for the hell of it. So it was nice that we were just like, okay, this, the theme of the week is reveal. Okay, go. In terms of Blair's looks, I feel like if she hadn't explained to me what she was going for, I might not have made all the connections. That's probably more to do with my lack of fashion knowledge. But I mean, I understood that she was, because she said that she was starting off as like 1960s, like I forget exactly what the words that she used, but like out shopping or something. And then it turned into the mod style. So it's like, okay, so you're, it's like a time progression. Mm-hmm. And now you're in the 70s with the disco. But I felt like if she hadn't said that, then I would have been like, where is the cohesion here? I thought that all of the reveals were pretty seamless though. That's the one thing, is like, I feel like some queens forget about like the magic of the illusion of it all, and then sort of just like remove one thing and then that's supposed to be it. But I felt like each one was drastically different, and the way that she rehearsed taking everything off, it was like a piece of theater. So I appreciated that aspect. Especially the wig. I didn't see the wig coming at all.
Ooh, yeah. The wig reveal was absolutely my favorite part of it. I felt like overall Blair's three outfits just came off as like, as much as I appreciated the concept, they all came off as cheap. And I don't know what it would have looked like in person. Like this pink silk looking almost like robe that she was wearing as a dress, like the housewife, that kind of thing, 50s housewife. It was cute. It's not All Stars 5 stunning. You do the mod dress, which was clearly made to be bigger so she could have another reveal under it, but it just didn't fit her properly. It made her legs look so skinny and like disproportional for the rest of her body. But I appreciated like what she was going for. I appreciated three different colors that were really different. But I also feel like if you were going to go for the different styles and looks, maybe a color theme would have been actually better. I do think her last like the 70s disco kind of like outfit was her best look. I loved the wig reveal. I did not see that one coming. So it's nice when you do have a reveal that you really can't expect even within the context of having like the theme of the week is reveal. And you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. That's always a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. Overall, I think that she was middle of the pack for me in terms of how everything came across and looked. But yeah, I mean, obviously she was safe because of her room and such. And I think that she would have been safe for her outfits as well.
Yeah, I think this is why I would advocate for like a 2-in-1 look, because I think the transition from the second look, which is the yellow dress, into the Studio 54 look, that was the most dramatic. That was the best for me. I loved that transition because I didn't expect it. The pink little coat thing into the yellow dress, that was like, nah.
It was like, okay,
fine. Yeah. It was okay. It was like, all right. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed the last look. I just wish that the first sort of transition would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, there was also a part of me that kind of wished, if you were going to be chronological, wouldn't it have been kind of cool if she had said, this is like a woman in the 50s who then grows up, and this is what she's like in the 60s, and this is what she's like in the 70s. So like, ooh, if you were like,
nice, yeah.
Yeah, like, like a 50s, like 10-year-old girl kind of style or whatever. And then you move into like, because she's at an age and has that youthful look that she could do that. And then you have a girl who's like a teenager during the mod movement. And then you have someone who is like in their 20s or even the early 30s for like, you know, Studio 54 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there could have been some really cool things that she could have done there and just didn't take it to that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that could be cool because it kind of worked that way. I think maybe that's why I liked it from the second to the third. So if only that had happened for the first. Or maybe what if she had been like a toddler and then she grew up?
That would be cute.
I don't know. You come in with like oversized shoes, kick them off, and then you've got like your other shoes underneath. I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, that's basically what it was like from season 10 to now. I mean, she was 10 the first time she was on Drag Race, and now she is 14. So
nothing can convince me that she's still not 10 years old. One of my favorite photos of all time is it's of Trixie Mattel and Blair St. Clair, and Trixie looks like Blair's father, like straight up.
When they're out of drag,
I think they're both out of drag. Yeah.
I've seen that.
Oh my god, it's so good. I'll try to see if I can find it because it's just absolutely fantastic. Well, the next queen that we have is Mayhem, Miss Mayhem Miller. Beth, what did you think about Mayhem's look this week?
I thought Mayhem's look was pretty strong. Now, I will say that, and we'll get into this with Mariah's thing. What she did that Mariah didn't do was made the coat its own look versus like I'm wearing a coat over a look. So I thought what was nice about this is that you had that kind of coat that came across. It had the pattern underneath that was going to be in the eventual swimsuit. I really liked how the whole look just evolved. It was an interesting way. It wasn't just like this to me was three looks in one. It was three looks that had one theme to it, which I really appreciated. Some queens interpreted it differently, and that was fine too. But I really appreciated what she did. None of them blew me away. They weren't like amazing, but I thought it fit the assignment. I really loved the swimsuit. That is such a flattering a silhouette on her. With like the little swim cap almost underneath. I really loved how she did her own little wig reveal with that. Overall, I liked it. To me, it was stronger than Blair's just because I liked how each individual looked on her. And I thought she carried it well, but again, didn't blow me away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little bit of me that's like, when it's always this, when it's the same fabric, like I get that they're different looks, but maybe for some reason I want something that's much more contrasting. But I think of the fabrics that were the same, like this one, India Farah's one, like this one, I think I liked better because they did feel like somewhat more distinct looks.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous color on her skin. I just feel like it just like looks so good on her. I sort of was missing a bit of the drama of it. Like, I like when there's such contrasting looks, but they're still done seamlessly. But I appreciate that this was still very seamless. And Beth, as I was listening to you talk, it kind of like turned me around on it a bit because the coat wasn't just another coat. It had its own little design on it. And then like removing that layer, you're able to see, oh, okay. And then her taking off that skirt to reveal the swimsuit and the hair under the swim cap, I felt was like a nice little touch to make it cohesive but still interesting. So it didn't blow me away either, but it was very well done. Like, it was very seamless, and that's like the biggest thing that I liked. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I found the photo. See, look at all the amazing things we'll be able to do once we go to YouTube. This is from Twitter. Yeah, this is, I just Googled Blair St. Clair and Trixie Mattel and like did images. And yes, Trixie definitely looks like Blair's father.
But also Blair does look like she's 10.
Yeah.
They look like they are going to DragCon for the first time. He is taking her there.
Like, I'm going to be a supportive father.
Exactly.
He's the straight father who is taking the... Yeah.
Absolutely. That's too good. All right. Well, Alexis Mateo is the next queen that we see. And I loved that there was a theme. That it was, oh, I'm trying to do, you know, the circus or whatever. I think that was the theme. But man, were these outfits ugly.
Thank you.
The thing is, it's like the makeup, you could already tell, was not meant to go for the first outfit.
Plus, you could see the green sticking out.
And then, like, once again, I would not have understood it unless you told me. And it's like, I don't want to have to do that much work. You know, I want this to be, I want to understand exactly what you're trying to go for. Like, think outside of the box, of course. Of course, like, try to, you know, make it as unconventional as possible. But it, this is an art form, okay? And you want your art to make sense, at least in this respect. And I just feel like it didn't. And the I mean, she said that the second outfit was supposed to be like a ballerina.
That's not in the circus.
When a ballerina's ever in this, like, I, the last time I saw the Nutcracker, I didn't see any circuses. And when the last time I went to the circus, I didn't see a Nutcracker. So I just need to understand.
I was really disappointed when there weren't elephants in the Nutcracker. I was so mad. To be fair, if I were putting the Nutcracker, I'd be stomping around like an elephant. So, I mean,
it just seems like one of those instances where you can clearly see what she's trying to go for, but it just doesn't, in her head, it's this illustrious story, but it doesn't translate. It sort of like reminds me of like season 8 when they did the books challenge. They had to create a look out of books. And Derek Barry stayed up all night and create like that little corset. It looked like another Britney Spears outfit, but there was like a lot of detail. Like he took like bits and pieces of magazines and like made contrasting patterns and stuff. But you had like the camera had to zoom in for us to see that. And it's like, we're at home, Derek. We can't see that unless the camera tells us to look at it. So it's like, you're doing a lot of work. I understand it, but like, you're not, it's getting lost in translation. It's a little bit too cerebral.
Yeah. Like that ballerina outfit is just so ugly. Like, thankfully she didn't have it on for very long because I just really hated it. I hated all of the, like, oh my God, they were all just so ugly.
I loved her eye makeup with the last look, but that's because of her eye makeup. But I look at the last look and I'm like, that, okay. First of all, Alexis, you are the one who is talking about this being a trapeze artist, but you're trying to do a tap dance. Like, what is this? Like, you're not even performing the runway. Like, I'm not saying that you have to pretend like you're like, wee, like pretending you're on a trapeze or something. But like,
but don't tap dance.
Don't tap dance. That's so weird. Or if you're going to do a dance look, because that is a dance costume that I would expect dancers to be wearing in a dance competition, in addition to that really ugly neon green ballerina look, which I would not expect dancers to wear in a competition. Like, don't make your first look a big top. Make it dance related and just have three different styles of dance or something. But either way, her best outfit is the first one. And as soon as I looked at it, I went, oh no, this has got to be going somewhere good. And I was just left so disappointed. She has so much talent. We know that she can design. We know that she can like perform the shit out of anything. But my goodness, Alexis, no, no, all the way across the board, no.
Yeah, I'm going back and looking at the first outfit. So, you know, it's this like white, red and black sort of, I don't even know what to call it. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. And I was trying to remember what she was. Thank God I have notes that wrote down clown, because I was like, are you trying to be the circus? Like, you look like a circus tent right now.
That's what I thought she was going to be. And she's like, I'm a clown. I'm like, bitch, you are a tent.
Put on a red nose and pull it off, you know? Like, there are other options. I just, oh my God, this was just so ugly. This was so bad. I mean, yeah, I was very
underwhelmed. I mean, because she, with the way that she took that hat off, I was like, oh, she's about to give us something. She's given us something. And then that dress.
And you saw every single step of the way, you could see what a part of what the next reveal was going to be in that first like robe situation. Mm-hmm. You could see the green popping out when she's taking off the.
And then the green didn't want to come off all the way.
And then the green was like, we're staying on. But then even like you could see that there was clearly some kind of bodysuit leotard underneath. And on top of that, that when she lifted her arms, here's the costume underneath. Like, it just wasn't it.
It just wasn't it. The one thing I'm trying to look, you know, like, I do love Alexis as a queen. I'm trying to find what do I like? What is my constructive criticism here?
Eye makeup. It was great.
The eye makeup was pretty.
It didn't match anything.
Right. Sort of the last look. I mean, I did like a little bit the hair reveal when she has the bun at the end. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was really pretty. But mm-hmm. Also, I was definitely expecting when I saw that lime green color or something from Michelle. You know, of course, we didn't end up getting that. But
what a great moment that could have been to, like, hand the camera to Michelle Visage just to have her one eyebrow raise. Yeah. The infamous, notorious single eyebrow raise from.
But then, then that wouldn't have made sense because why was she safe? You know, we only get the shady looks for the queens that are going to be in the bottom. So even, oh man. All right. So India Farah. Yes. Okay. Okay, man. India Farah. So walk me through what we're seeing with her, because she's the queen that had. I personally didn't necessarily like, just because it felt like it was the same fabric and similar outfits, or maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, I was sort of underwhelmed with this one as well. Similarly, for the same reasons that I was underwhelmed by Mayhem's, because it didn't look like three looks. It looked like these were all supposed to be together and she was just taking off layers, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, it just,
she got hot. There's no AC.
Right.
Like, layers off.
She took off her coat and then she was like, oh, you know what? It's still a little bit too hot in here. Let me just take off these pants. That's what it felt like. And now she's in underwear.
Beth, you liked the Mayhem look, and this is, I think, now sort of similar now that we're watching it back and seeing some of mm-hmm. the reveals. Did you feel similarly about India's look?
I did. I actually really, really liked the progression of this. However, I don't know if this is an editing thing or what it is. I would like all the queens, if you have a theme where the theme is reveal and it's multiple reveals, do them at different points of the stage. And that's kind of what India did, and it's something that Mayhem didn't do and a couple other queens didn't do. It makes it easier for us to go, oh, that's supposed to be a reveal, instead of this is part of this outfit is me just taking this off, you know. Right. Because for her, what I had an issue with is this the second look when she takes off the cape, or is the second look just when she takes off the skirt? You know, like, so there's some in between stuff, and I don't know if that's an editing thing or not. But when it came to India's whole look, I thought I loved the first look. I thought the first look was really cool. It was a really interesting silhouette. I love that she looks like just like some slutty, like woman with power and money, and was just going to come own everything. And I loved that. And then she just got like even more into it. And I was here for that. But I was not as impressed with the last outfit. And I think that that's like the issue, that unlike Mayhem, I liked how that last outfit ended. I was weirded out by that like belt thing. Like, what was that? In the last part of the outfit.
Ass sash.
And when it came down to the second outfit, it was okay. Like, I didn't like it as a jumpsuit as much as I liked it as a skirt with like that over dramatic, like ruffle thing, you know, adding just a little bit more to it.
I think I actually like each look individually, maybe even more so than some of Mayhem's, except for the bathing suit, I think was mm-hmm. my favorite. But mm-hmm. I do like, sorry, with the ass sash up right now, just getting a good look at it, because they are good. The outfits themselves are good. I think just for me, because I do want more of that contrast, that's something that I'm looking to see. So someone like Blair St. Clair, even though I think like her individual outfits were not as good, I liked it as a reveal more so than this, just because it's like just taking off pieces of the same outfit mm-hmm. versus this is three looks in one. Like, they felt like completely distinct looks. Mm-hmm. Alexis's looks were just so bad. Like, I don't even know how to wrap my head around that logic. So I don't know. Maybe there clearly is a bar somewhere. Because if I'm having to rank them, you know, maybe I'm going Blair, India, Mayhem, Alexis. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm just like the judging of this challenge. I have no concept of what I'm doing. No consistency.
It just feels like it's one outfit with three layers, like I said before. Like,
okay,
it's like if you go skiing, right, and you have a matching like set of like long johns, and then your snow pants, and then your sweater and your coat and all that stuff. And if I'm walking back into the lodge after snow or skiing all day, and I take all that stuff off, were you going to call that a reveal? Or are you just going to say, "Oh, look at your matching set"?
Let's talk about our next queen, the eventual winner of this challenge, even though she was not in the winning room, Jujubee, who does a very holiday themed series of looks. Aman, did you like what Jujubee was doing here?
I want to like this so bad, guys, because I am so festive. I love the holidays. But it was, it looked so cheapy. Like, it just, yeah. it just.
You're not alone.
Where is the drama? Where is the zest? It doesn't even look like she's really even trying. And then she walks the whole way and then takes the wig off and then comes back.
I so agree, Aman. I was so underwhelmed with this because every single costume looked like I bought this at the Halloween store for Halloween. And it, like, there was nothing spectacular, special, interesting about any of these. There wasn't actually anything interesting about the reveals either themselves.
No.
I loved the concept and I loved Jujubee. But I just felt like she was just kind of like, I am walking, I am taking off clothes, I am giving you a smile, I will throw my little gift at you, I will eat. Like, there was no like pizzazz, there was no zest. And also, I don't like the idea that you have a bright red bunny for Easter. Like, that's go pastel, girl. What is, like, I thought you were doing a hot, like a Valentine's Day, get into some lingerie or something like that.
That would have made more sense. Yeah.
It would make much more sense. All of a sudden, she's got a little bunny tail and carrots and that weird mask thing. And I went, oh, she's doing Easter. Okay, that's weird. So yeah. I don't know.
I had the exact same response. I 100% thought that it was Valentine's Day. And then when it was not Valentine's Day, I was very confused. So it was just like, why? And then I was like, oh, because it was just the, you know, she has the corset for the second look. And so she just takes the skirt off. But still, you know, I loved the idea. I loved the concept. I loved the fact that the bucket like switched halfway, you know, because like half of it is the Halloween bucket and half of it is like the sparkly kind of Christmassy bucket. The fact that she had stuff in there as props, but it was just, it did look cheap and it was like just very sort of lax. The comment like, I'm walking and I'm taking off clothes is so apt, Aman.
I would go up for this if this were like somewhere in Philly at a local gay bar and a queen did this. Like, I'd be like, yes, bitch, yeah. Three! This is All Stars 5. All right.
Yeah.
I really need, and maybe it's a money thing. You know, I don't know what Jujubee's financial situation is. I don't know what kind of access she has. I mean, she talks about an untucked house. She has not been on Drag Race in 8 years, and she talks about really taking some time to deal with her addiction issues and her substance abuse issues. So I don't necessarily know what's going on in her life, monetarily speaking. So I don't want to shame the girl, but at the same time, it's All Stars 5. And you knew that this was coming up, and it's just, there, like, it's not really, and the best part of the reveal for me was taking off the skirt and becoming the sexy Easter bunny. That was like the most like seamless, polished part. Cause I feel like in reveals, like that should be what it is. A reveal, and you reveal the next part of your look, but adding stuff to your look, that's like, you're going backwards. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you should just be removing things and that's it. You shouldn't have to add anything, because at that point, like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Are we playing dress up, or are you already dressed?
I was also really weirded out that she was eating very dirty carrots. I was so stressed out. I was like, girl, you couldn't have rinsed those. Like, come on.
I think somebody commented on that too. They're like, those are dirty.
Those are dirty. You gotta wash that. And she's like, everyone's taking bites of them. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, maybe also, I know that this was filmed well before, you know, Corona, but I also had that moment of like, don't share stuff. But I don't know. Those were dirty. You could see that they were filthy. I did love how she looked in the corset. Like, she was corseted beautifully. I can absolutely understand if there's nothing to reveal underneath a corset. Like, it's not like you can go be like, underneath this corset, there's another corset. But I wish that there kind of was. I wish
that would be a gag. I don't think
that would be a freaking gag. Like, wouldn't that have been great if she just went, huh? And like, all of a sudden there was this pastel or something that seemed more Easter that went into it. Like, that would have been great. Or if she went Valentine's Day and was like, hey, reveal. And it's just like, hey, there's not much under here. I got a bra or like whatever. I don't know. It would have been really cute, but I don't know.
Well, because you can still have that, the main corset be like the structural corset and then just have something covering it, because like someone who's worn corsets, like, you can't just rip them off, but it doesn't matter, right? Like, because you have the one that's the structure and then you have the one that you can do the reveal for. So I think it's like, again, it's one of those things that like could have been really good. I just like, it needed some polishing, you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, like Aman said, if any of these reveals happened in a gay bar and at a show, I would be yes queening and living for every single thing.
And so, tipping.
And tipping. And tip. Yes. And if you don't want to touch money, PayPal, tip. Okay. Mariah, Miss Mariah. Now, Aman, you said that you were really starting to like Mariah throughout this episode. Did you like her look as well?
I didn't have as much of an issue that Michelle had with like the. I might sound a little bit hypocritical here because I just talked about how I really do look forward to drama, but I think that there was drama here. You know, I feel like there was. I mean, that mask and everything. And she can talk about, like, all she did was remove the jacket. But I feel like there was so much of a contrasting look because she removes the jacket, she removes the mask. It's not the same look at all. And then for her to unfurl that dress with that silver just down the bodice, I felt like out of some of the looks that we've seen, I felt like these were, like, the most dramatically different, but still cohesive. And polished, you know what I mean? Whereas some of these others, they had to be explained. I feel like you didn't need to explain this one. And yeah, I've really just become a fan of Mariah. I haven't seen her original season, and I just felt like she was a good narrator for this season. I really enjoyed her in her confessionals. I think that she's pretty funny and just witty, and just I just really liked her. So I acknowledge that she didn't really do well in the challenge. But I thought that she performed better than India Farah, so I was just shocked. And it seemed like the episode was editing in that way, that India would be the one to go here. So, I was sort of just kind of taken for a loop that she was the one to go. Because, I liked the looks. It wasn't my favorite, but I liked it more than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth, go ahead. What were you thinking?
Well, I talked about it a little bit with Mayhem. Whereas Mayhem's jacket looked like a look itself, this... I understand where Michelle is coming from. I don't necessarily go all the way with Michelle's criticism and saying that it's not a look. That is dramatic enough of a jacket or coat that it absolutely is a look in its own right. So I don't co-sign what Michelle's saying with that's not a look. You can't be wearing that jacket and say that's not a look. But I do agree, like, that if she had also had something else to reveal with the jacket, besides just taking off a mask, like if there was something with the legs or something, I think that that might have been a stronger reveal. But I do think I love that this reveal was different from any other ones, that it just kind of the second to the third one just like reveals just by like flipping down the dress in a different way. It actually kind of reminded me of Katya's reveal in All Stars 2, where she goes from the red and to the red and gold with like the pentagram on her forehead and all that kind of stuff. I think she looks beautiful. I think that she really owns every single look. She had confidence, she had sex, she had pizzazz with every single look. She was sultry, and the first one looks like high fashion. The second one looks like I'm going to a work like function where I need to kind of own the room a little bit. If you're like the CEO and you're like, you know, whatever. And then the third one was like, I'm going to a gala. And so I liked that you could tell like this is someone who's like rich and has a theme. And like, this is stuff that's in her closet. Like I could feel that. I really liked it. I think people came too hard for her on the judges panel.
I thought India was going to go. I like genuinely thought that she was going to be fine. And I think in part because of these looks, like I really liked them. I thought because you have the mask with the coat, I think that helps. And I am personally a fan of the reveals that go from something shorter to something longer, because that's really hard to pull off. It's easier to just take stuff off of you and then have less clothing. But she was able to make it so that, you know, it went from a short dress to a long dress. And the extra fabric on the short dress looked okay. Like it didn't look like it was extra or misplaced. It actually looked like it was really part of the gown because it was kind of like hanging behind her. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that it was really gorgeous. And then with the dramatic reveal of the silver, I thought really cemented it. So I was a fan of these.
Right. No, I agree. Because I didn't know what was going to happen after she pulled off the jacket. I thought if anything, she was going to do something with the fabric that was down her back. I thought maybe she's going to pull it over herself but then when she just went to her chest, I was like, okay. And we've seen that kind of reveal before where you unlatch something at the top and then it falls. That's like sort of like a classic drag thing to do, but I didn't mind that because I didn't see it coming. I thought that it was going to be something along the other end, so I liked it.
Well, I think what also makes this so special is like I actually put this in the same category as the Mayhem in India's, where it's one outfit that has three different looks within it. But you don't feel like it's so segmented because of the way she reveals it. Versus India, for example, you're like, this is one look. This is a second look. Here is a third one. With Mariah's, it's like very fluid in like, we go from this to this. And the way that she reveals it isn't like, I'm going to obviously tear this off for like my second to third one. That's where the built-in surprise is. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Anytime that you can do like Blair St. Clair did, exactly to Liana's point too, where you're going from short to long, whether it's a wig, whether it's a dress or an outfit, if you can get an unexpected moment within an expected theme of reveals, that's amazing. And I think Mariah did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking now about Blair's look because she had pants. That means her pant legs were like shoved up. Right. And then they dropped.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now that I think about that, that's actually really cool.
And long sleeves.
And long sleeves. Yes. And long sleeves. Well, Miss Fabergé Egg herself walks the runway next. We have Miss Cracker doing her very own take on opulence. She earns everything. Beth, what did you think about her runways this week?
Okay. This was far and away my favorite runway. I didn't know how I was going to feel at first. As soon as she revealed how the egg, Fabergé egg, falls down into like the skirt of the dress, I was gagged. This is an All-Stars 5 runway. Yes. This is a 3-in-1 All-Stars 5 level of like fashion. The Fabergé egg itself looked a little weird to me. I was at first like, I don't know where this is going, but where I saw it went, it made the look stronger, having known where it went. I loved it so much. It was campy. It was beautiful. It fit her. I love seeing her in a red wig. It's told the story. Like, it was really cool. And I really liked the kind of like the skirt cape part of the third outfit. I thought it was really interesting and a different take on a look that we would normally see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm having like flashbacks right now with the egg too. Was it when Alaska did her reveal look and it was Lil Pound Cake and she was just like a black bag or whatever? And then she just pulled it down and it was Lil Pound Cake, which by the way, the judges loved. And then of course, Mariah taking off a coat is not a reveal with like, whatever.
She wore trash bags, people, and it wasn't even in fashion. It was just like, I'm a black shroud, and now
right.
Yeah. But this fit, and just like you're saying, Beth, the way that it folded down, perfection, Amon.
I think this might be everybody's favorite of the week. I mean, you just don't expect something like this, and it's like, you know that something is coming, but the anticipation of what exactly it is, that's what makes this so special. The only critique, and this is me nitpicking, is that because you see how she opens it up at the end there? And that's like, sort of like that butterfly effect next to her legs. I sort of wish that we just got just a little bit more time to devour the secondary look, because I felt like it happened so fast. Like, I mean, obviously, you get the egg, she poses, there you go. Then you see her coming out, it falls. I just want to look at that for a second. Walk a little bit, walk. And then, oops, I got my earphones. Then take out the rest of the dress.
That's exactly how I feel. Like, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, have your reveals at different points in the runway so that the audience has an opportunity to take in what you've put together and really understand where you're going. And because this second look is gorgeous.
She should have walked. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's me being nitpicky. The only thing I didn't like were those shoes. I did not like the shoes with the Fabergé egg, because you're not going to see them for the rest of the time. So you got to put on a shoe that's really going to pop a little bit more than just a basic black pump, which is what I believe that she was just wearing. Even if she just had like some rhinestones or something on there, even if they were black rhinestones, something that gave just like a little bit more of a shine, or if they were navy blue or something, there's just something throwing me off about the shoe with the Fabergé egg. So because you're not going to see that until the third look again too. So you need something that's going to tie in those looks, but I mean, that's just being nitpicky at the end of the day. I really, really, really love this runway.
Mm. Well, let's talk about a runway look that the judges didn't necessarily like, which, by the way, shut up, Ross. Like, I'm sorry. Am I completely off base that this look crafty? Shea Coulee is who we're talking about, who does the beautiful sort of caterpillar, weird ass, freaking awesome thing that she does. And crafty Beth,
first look no, second look no, third look yeah. I thought there was elements of it, and here's the reason why. It's the it's like the little bodice part looks like it's like kind of cheaper than the rest of the outfit. And the wings too, I think it's just the way that the fabric hangs off of it. However, that is not cheap. When I hear crafty, I'm thinking like arts and crafts, like put it together kind of thing. Like, there are crafty, quote unquote, looks that I have seen other contestants wear. Like when they did the paper runway in season 10, I loved the Vixens look. You could tell that was just like a whole bunch of different, like, you know, pieces of paper, scrap paper and such. This to me got way too much hate from the judges. I think this was a really cool concept. I think it was almost club kid. It was really interesting, really cool. And I think that they were just looking for a reason to make a bottom three out of the queens they had there, and they couldn't do it with Cracker. And they said, well, we got to, and somehow they were trying to choose between Alexis and Shay. And I think that this is what they decided to go with. Although I would have put Alexis in the bottom before Shay.
Amon, what do you
think? Shay apologist, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe it's like our preconceived notion, like, oh, we think Shay is gonna win, so Shay should never be in the bottom. But Amon, what did you think about her looks?
So, okay, I like the first look. I like the you know, the caterpillar type deal thing. I think that's pretty cool. The second look didn't really make much sense to me. Because if you think about like the metamorphosis of a butterfly or whatever, they're you know, they're in their shells and then they come out. But she came out twice.
That's like a point.
I didn't really understand the intermediary look. I just felt like it was just, okay, let's get to the end. And I don't want to feel that way. I want to be able to absorb every single thing. I think that the look is ugly, but that doesn't detract from it, because I understand that there's a lot of work that goes into this. I feel like every time we have a queen that comes out on stage with like these really, really bright pastels, I'm just like, get the hell out of my face. I can't take it. I just can't take it. But like,
these colors are not for me.
They're just not. I'm trying, guys, but I just can't do it. It's just not my thing. But I think the thing that for me is like, I don't understand like this crafty comment. It's like, you are going to tell queens like Chi Chi Devane, you don't need money, girl. You don't need money to get good drag. And then when somebody gives you really ingenious drag, because even if I think it's ugly, it's still like a lot of mechanics that went into this. your biggest critique is that it's crafty. It's like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. What do you want?
No, I agree with that. I also think, I agree. I think their second look is the weakest. It would have been cool if she could have found a way to, whereas Cracker came out of the egg, it would have been cool if the second look, because no one said you had to reveal to make less, if the second look was enclosing herself into a chrysalis with, you know, like shrouds or something like that. Something that would have shown that. I just think that like this, the bodice portion looked good with a caterpillar, and then it just didn't make sense for the rest of the outfit. And I would have loved for her last bit. I think that's probably what the wings are attached to, though. So that's probably why it's there. I think that the wings with just the neon bodysuit without that little bodice thing would have been great for the last look. So it's just, I think that there was just some things that I feel like could have been executed better to make the runway theme, or like her theme, like stronger. But altogether, yeah. this is good drag. Like this is, I don't know why they were like really shitting on it.
Right.
Yeah. I think part of it was like, because I heard the judges be so negative towards it. And I was like, this is so cool. Like I hear all of your critiques, but this is something completely outside the box. I mean, I guess. You
and
know?
It's not like typically what Shay would do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like Shay is a little bit more of like a polished queen than this. And this is something that you would totally expect from like a Crystal Method. So I was sort of shocked when she went this route. And I think that they didn't really give her enough credit for that.
Now, of course, totally you have to agree. Credit Jasmine Masters for the first butterfly in a cocoon.
That's right. If only she had just put up a hula hoop for the chrysalis portion.
I get that. Like, that would have been cool. Because then you have, like, it goes into the chrysalis and then it comes out and then it's a butterfly. I think I'm also partial to any type of wings. type of look. I just love it. I don't know why. I think it comes from a deep-seated childhood desire to fly. I've always wanted to fly. Mm-hmm. If I could pick a superpower, it would absolutely be flight. And so that's the inner kid in me that's just like, oh, I really love this.
I thought you were going to say a deep-seated desire to be Courtney Act in season 6. It's like, which girl? I will also co-sign on.
For multiple reasons. That look, I still think about that look. Sometimes I just go back and I look and I see the reveal of the like the wings popping. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. Okay, anyway, we're not talking about season 6. We're here to talk about All Stars 5. We get the rest of these looks, right? Everything goes to the judging. And what ends up happening is Alexis and Cracker are made safe, where then the rest of the queens stay to get their critiques. You know, we already talked about the fact that Blair St. Clair and Mayhem Miller are declared the best room. However, they still don't win. Jujubee actually ends up winning here. Okay. The bottom three. Did Shay deserve to be in the bottom three, Iman?
Sure. I would say so, yes.
Okay.
I felt like I was already at a disadvantage because I didn't really understand too much about the Golden Girls. But like I said before, none of the jokes really seemed to land. And I really feel like Cracker was the standout from that entire group. And then in terms of like the gold group, both Mayhem and Blair were not going to be in the bottom. And then in terms of like the jungle one, I could have probably made a case for Alexis, maybe. But either or, I was fine with Shay being there with the other two.
Yeah, Beth, I think the question is like, okay, because Cracker, I think we can kind of all agree, probably deserve to be safe. So yeah. Should Alexis have been in the bottom? Should we have had a bottom two here? You know, what's the situation?
My instinct, my gut, and I, again, understand that I might have a bias because I'm just such a Shay fan. I have watched Golden Girls, not all the way through. I haven't seen every episode. I wouldn't call myself a super fan, but I understand it enough. There were little nuances that Shay did in her performance, even if they weren't necessarily funny, that were excellently put together. Like she was Bea Arthur for me a few times. There were times where I genuinely felt like Alexis just wasn't acting and wasn't in tune with her group. Whereas I thought Shay was at least in tune with her group. And then I hated Alexis's runway so much more than I hated it. So I personally felt like Alexis could have been in the bottom. I don't know if they just were like, well, it, you could go either way, but it's more suspenseful to put Shay in there because she just won last week and we have all these expectations. Plus, you have the potential drama of Alexis and Cracker being the only two that are left on the stage that get safe. Like, that's kind of interesting given the drama that was there earlier. So I don't know if those things are taken into consideration. I feel like they are. But I don't know. I can see Shay being the bottom. I wish it was Alexis over Shay personally.
Mm-hmm. So James reached out to me on Twitter and said, possibly tin hat theory for hashtag All Stars 5 is the number of queens in the bottom done so to prevent a possible tie with the votes. So I thought that that was actually really interesting. Does that make sense here? Could we have had how many people were voting? Let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7 people voting. Mm-hmm. So even if there had been 2 in the bottom, though, there's no way we could have had a tie. And like we could have had a tie here, I think, right? If it had been 3-3-1. Right. So, you know, I don't know if that necessarily tracks moving forward. But I was like, well, that got me thinking.
The bottom 3 get to vote, though, don't they?
Yeah, they get to vote.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the bottom 3 get to vote. So it's still, 8 votes then?
It's 8 votes. Here's the thing. So,
because Jujubee can't vote. I mean, she does vote, but like she votes in her own way.
Not included if, yeah.
So it's 7. But so it would have had, votes. Either way, you would have had 3 and 3 last week as well.
Yeah, so, okay, that's true.
So I don't know if it's a number saying. What I actually think it is, it's RuPaul just doing whatever he wants in the moment. If, you know, no. We've seen him be like, everyone's on stages in the bottom. All 12 of you got a lip sync. I mean, we've seen that before, you know? So I think that this was to make things more suspenseful, to make them harder, to give them a little bit more pressure on it, making a decision. I think when you have 3 people to choose from to eliminate, that makes it much more suspenseful. You think about even like the weeks of Big Brother when you have 3 people who are up for elimination versus 2, like there's a lot more scheming that happens. And so if you're trying to bring the voting portion to the forefront of this format, I just think that that was probably why they're going with 3. I wouldn't be shocked if they go between 3 and 2 all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the vote breakdown ends up being 4 votes for Mariah, 2 votes for Shay, and 1 vote for India. This was the moment when I saw that vote breakdown where I was like, my Big Brother and Survivor senses just like turned on. I was like, Alexis, Mayhem, get together, make the alliance, get out, Shay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was expecting that, Amon.
I was just having a conversation with my roommate who is also a big fan of Drag Race. And I was saying, like, thank God for Naomi Smalls last season because she got rid of Manila Luzon. And now I feel like the possibility of front runners going home is definitely a little higher. And I think that it should be that way. My roommate is completely opposed to that. He's like, no, like, fuck that. This isn't Survivor. This isn't Big Brother. You shouldn't be getting out the queens that are the most talented. It's a talent competition. I said, yes, it's a talent competition also with a voting twist. So why wouldn't you be trying to get people out that are going to possibly be hard to beat in the end?
Right.
And so when Alexis and when Mayhem went ahead and did that, and they edited it to make it seem like Jujubee was also going to do it, which I knew she wasn't going to. But I think the thing that is going to always be the issue here for All Stars are the fans, because they attacked the hell out of Naomi Smalls for doing what she did. And I feel like all these queens are too afraid of the backlash. And I want the culture that surrounds All Stars to change and to shift so that we do see queens that are in the front getting chopped, because that's the point. There's no point in having this twist if people are not willing to engage in it. Why are you trying to trim the fat of the game mechanic in order to make it work just like a regular season? This is All Stars. Like, come on, let's play the game. And so I wanted the same thing to happen. I wanted India, and I wanted Mariah to fight a little bit more here, but I think they're just so afraid of being like, oh my God, I don't want to be that queen that gets rid of the front runner. And
I also think Mariah was, I think Mariah was maybe thinking India was going to go home. And they're season 3 sisters. So I understand like maybe not wanting to like push her too far, but Mariah was in a group with Shay and with Cracker. And it's so interesting to me that both of her teammates voted for her to go. Like, I think that's what's interesting about this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I also thought India was going to go. So I really didn't expect that. I don't know. Like, there was something, I felt like there was something missing behind the scenes that maybe we just didn't get to see. I mean, we know that a lot of these queens have pre-existing relationships, and we did see that come up a little bit with people talking about voting out, voting out some of the queens. But I just, it felt weird, and it felt a little bit out of nowhere for me personally.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
I didn't get it. Well, nonetheless, we get to the lip sync, and Juju is going to go against Miss Monet Exchange, singing Juice by Lizzo. Aman.
Yes. Yeah. So Monet really did the damn thing here. I mean, I still feel like I've seen Monet do a little bit more than usual. I feel like the only queen that gave me exactly what they were going to give me is Evie Oddly so far. 100%. Not saying that Monet didn't do well. I still feel like there was a piece that was like, are you holding back? Are you holding back? What's going on? And the same thing with Juju B. Like, isn't she known? I mean, she talks about it in her Untucked, about how she's known for sending so many girls home. And yes, it's been 8 years. Yes, our bodies change. They pain ourselves in ways that we didn't even know we could feel pain. Like, I get it. Like, people get a little bit older and they can't be doing the same things. I get it. But, like, don't you want the $10,000? You just watched Shay get $20,000. She got 1/5 of the prize money last week. Don't you want
sure did.
1/10? Like, what's going on? So, I mean, Monet beat her fair and square. And it's still so weird to me that the queens that get asked to come back don't get anything. I feel like it's so vacuous. Like, you get to win and then your morale is totally taken down by having to reveal the lipstick of one of the queens. Like, you literally come there to end somebody's dream. And Monet talked about that a little bit in Untucked. Mm-hmm. She was like, look, I just don't want anybody to feel any kind of way about me, because I know that people can get crazy, fans can be crazy, but I am literally just here to do my job. And I'm like, I really feel like we could get rid of, I mean, people are going to be pissed at the queens that win and send their queens home anyway, but I really feel like we could temper a bit of that by giving the queens that come back something. Because for them to just come and eliminate a queen, it's like,
I mean, yeah, I think / hope they get paid for that, but it would be cool. You're talking about, like, if they win, they should get something else, is what you're
saying. Right. I don't even need it to be money or anything. Just, like, I don't know, like, something, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been great if they got, like, whatever the prize was that the person wins. So, like, they're the ones that win the six-night stay. At the I'm sorry. I love Jujubee. But you are not going to beat Monet Exchange at a Lizzo song. I am sorry. Like, Monet Exchange is going to perform the hell out of every beat of that song. She's going to embody it. And Jujubee, I love how she lip syncs and all that fun stuff. But, like, no, this is just not a good song choice to compete against somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, Juju also didn't know the words.
Oh, that was
places. Like, that and she kept bad. Turning around, and I was like, "Oh no, oh no!"
Do you not know the words to Juice? It's been all over the place.
I will say, right? Monet definitely redeemed herself, because I think on her original season she went home on a Lizzo song.
She sure did. Yes. I think she did a fantastic job. I mean, the camera was on Monet for the majority of the whole lip sync, so I knew that was going to happen. And, you know, Black Velvet, which is probably one of the most iconic lip syncing songs from Jujubee, is just so good. But it's such a different song. It's such a different tone. And so, you know, this was just, I think, not a good fit. I'm really happy that Juju was able to win her first main challenge, which was crazy. Like, the fact that this was her first challenge win. And unfortunately, she didn't get to cap that with a lip sync win. Because actually, I think this was her first lip sync loss. So she, like, got her first main challenge win and then her first lip sync loss.
That's an interesting, statistic.
Yeah. But then we have, I mean, I guess it didn't matter regardless, because the group voted to send home Mariah, which is the same lipstick that Jujubee actually had as well. So regardless of the outcome, we would have sent Mariah packing. I was happy that Mariah was on the season. She wasn't on for very long, but she gave us some gems, especially about, you know, like, I'm not used to doing labor. Labors, I think, is what she said. Lovely.
Labors.
Yeah. And I can't remember if this was in Untucked. Yes, it was in Untucked when Bianca Del Rio calls in and gives her a message. Yeah, so sweet. And says, you know, it's not if you win, it's what you do with it after. And I think that Mariah was a girl who was on season 3. There have been a lot of new fans since. And I hope that this is helpful for her, Beth, to really just get her name out there and connect with more fans.
Agreed. I think a lot of the super fans who watch the WoW Presents stuff on YouTube are familiar enough with her because she guests so often on Fashion Photo Review, and she's constantly in the spotlight for a lot of their videos. I hope this is a big boost for her. She is a fierce queen with an important background. She has the ball scene background, which a lot of the queens nowadays, when they're coming to Drag Race, they don't have. It's, in my opinion, it's an underrepresented area of drag culture. Mm-hmm. And she brings an important perspective and voice and history to that. So I'm happy that we were able to see her. She talks a little bit about that in Untucked, about coming from when she was talking to Michelle, how her background was different coming from the ball scene versus the pageant scene or the club scene or whatever. And I hope that we continue to see her talk a little bit more now that she probably has a bigger platform than she did before, and help uplift and educate people about what the ball scene's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, because a lot of new fans of the show and new queens in general see Drag Race and they think that that's all that there is, and that's right. Just not the case. I mean, it all starts from somewhere, and that history is very, very important. So I hope that. I mean, I've literally witnessed conversations under our like releasing of the episodes on Twitter where people will be like having conversations about like, well, the ball scene doesn't really matter that much anymore. And I'm like, oof, what do you mean? Like, that's the reason that Drag Race even exists. So like,
there's the reason they have categories. That's the reason why they have half the lexicon of
realness, like the ball challenge. Like, guys, it's literally from the ballroom scene. Yeah. And I think that's why you can have queens that are really good drag queens, but maybe don't necessarily perform well on Drag Race. Like, just because a queen doesn't do well on Drag Race doesn't mean they're not a good drag queen.
Right.
Because Drag Race is its own little weird sort of microcosm of drag, and it
just happens to be mainstream.
Yes, exactly right. This is the component that happens to be mainstream, so that's where we land. This is what we end up with. We are now down to 7 queens remaining, and I'm enjoying this season so far. And next week we are going to get the some sort of improv challenge. So the description is SheMZ, improv in a drag queen spoof of the celebrity gossip and drama show TMZ. The only thing I can think of with this, Amon, is the Akiria twerking challenge. I think it's
Brooklyn Heights being naked.
Brooklyn Heights being naked. Yes. So hopefully this one is a hit and not so much of a miss that we got this week.
Well, I feel like I can already go ahead and put my money on Jujubee and Ms. Cracker probably killing this challenge, because those are the funnier queens out of the bunch. So we'll see what happens.
I can't wait. I think also Alexis Mateo is going to make you laugh, and maybe not the ways that you're expecting. So that's what I can't wait for.
Yeah. Well, we will be back next week. Still working on a little bit of the kinks, but we might end up having a YouTube video posted. Of course, we will keep you guys in the loop. Remember to apply for Rob as a Podcast if that's something that you're interested in doing. Like I said, we are looking for applications, so just wanted to plug that one more time before we get out of here. So, Amon, how are you doing? What are you up to? And how can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin. I am, of course, still recording my Glee podcast with Matt Liguori, The Choir Room. So check that out as well if you are a fellow Gleek. That's it.
And Beth, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at AugustaWind11. I am also doing my weekly podcast, My Weekly Meltdown. We are working our way through Big Brother 10. This past week, we talked about Keisha's birthday. I can't wait to talk and see what happens next. This is a first watch for me. It's been a lot of fun. So I hope you guys come check it out sometime.
And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. I'm podcasting with Mike Bloom on the B&B about the Survivor seasons that we're rewatching. We just did San Juan del Sur episode 4, which is the Drew Christie boot. Oh my gosh. It is amazing. Drew Christie is such a fun character, a terrible fun character to watch on TV. So that should be dropping later this week. It's just Mike and I chit-chatting. So definitely check that out. Become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. There are extra benefits that you can get when you become a patron. You get firsthand hanging out with us in a patron group and Facebook online. So go to patreon.com, check out Rob Has a Podcast. It allows us to do everything that we do here. Of course, leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Thank you, Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.